Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Talk Podcast. I am your host, AJ Laster. Let's get the foreplay and get straight into today's episode. What is up, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Talk Podcast. Now, today, I'm going to be talking about a video game franchise that I have wanted to talk about for a while. Now, I've already talked about Resident Evil and how I told you it's one of my personal favorites to ever play. Now, I get to talk about another franchise that I have yet to play, but yet I've only played one game in this series. This episode is going to be broken down into two parts, with the first part talking about its original trilogy, its three prequels, and yes, including the mobile game one. If I have time, I'll talk about the book series that came out with it. And I'll also get into part two, where I'll talk about the series' journey into Norse mythology. What gaming franchise am I talking about? I'm talking about God of War. Now, like I said, I never got to play the original trilogy. I never got to play the prequel games. And the only one I actually played was the 2018 God of War, or as some people call it, God of War 4. And to be honest with you, God of War 4, or God of War 2018, if you want to get technical, was actually how I was introduced into Norse mythology. And even though, yes, it's inaccurate, it got me into wanting to look up the actual mythology. And that's the reason why I became a Norse pagan. Why I wear a Thor's hammer around my neck every single day. So thanks to that, God of War. Now, let's get into part one. Now, part one is going to talk about the original trilogy and its prequel series. Well, three prequel games. Okay, first off, we're going to talk about the first God of War, which was released in 2005 for PS2. It takes place in, like I said, in Greek mythology. It takes place in ancient Greece. And you take on the role of a Spartan general or a Spartan soldier named Kratos. See where I'm going with this? Now, in this game, he is tasked by the goddess Athena to find Pandora's box, the key to defeating Ares, the Greek god of war, who is running amok through Athens. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I will be reading some excerpts from the game's Wikipedia page, so that way, if you're wondering why I'm saying all this, now you know. Now, it shows, and the thing is, in this game, it shows a series of flashbacks of how Kratos became entangled with the gods. And it shows he was once a servant of Ares, who saved Kratos and his army from annihilation in battle, but tricked him into killing his family, his wife, and his daughter, his beloved daughter Calliope. And all this forced his metamorphosis into the ghost of Sparta. Now, the thing is, in the story, Ares is the reason why Kratos became the ghost of Sparta in the first place, because he tricked him into killing his family so that way he would have no way, you know, he would have no emotional ties. Again, like I said, a prick. Now, thing is, Ares tries to kill him because he heard from the other gods that a child bearing a birthmark would be the one to bring him down. And thing is, it actually turned out to be Kratos' brother Deimos, who I will bring up later in this part. Now, in this game, he eventually finds Pandora's box. And he battles Ares. He kills him. But then again, you know, there are certain parts in the game where he tries to kill himself. But then, you know, they say immortality's a bitch. Thing is, it was after he killed Ares, he finally ascends to Mount Olympus to become the god of war, the new god of war. In other words, he took Ares' spot as a god of the pantheon. Pretty cool setup. And a game that I have, like I've said in the past, I wish I had fucking played. Now, the thing is, the second game, God of War 2, came out in 2007. Oh, and thing is, this is around the time that the PS3 was coming out. And what did Santa Monica Studios do? They chose to release it on the PS2 instead of releasing it on PS3. Now, that is a game changer. Well, that's a bold move. That's a ballsy move. But anyway, let's get into the story. It says here in this game, he's angry at his fellow gods. Kratos runs amok across the city of Rhodes. Zeus intervenes and betrays Kratos, who is then saved by the Titan Gaia. Now, if you may recognize the voice of Gaia, it's the woman who plays Hetty on NCIS Los Angeles. I figure I'd give you that little tidbit. Now, and she's also the narrator of the God of War, the original God of War trilogy. So there's that too. She tells him that he must find the Sisters of Fate, who can change his fate and prevent his death at the hands of Zeus. Now, it's in this game that he actually kills a whole bunch of gods. R.I.P. to Poseidon. I don't think it's in this game, but I think it's in the next game. In this game, he is ultimately successful, and as he is about to kill the god, Athena sacrifices herself to save Zeus and preserve Olympus, and tells Kratos that he is Zeus's son. Now, this is around the time that we find out that Kratos actually is a demigod. The fuck? So he's an anti-Semite demigod. He's a self-hating god. And that he betrayed Kratos out of fear. I mean, if you're the leader of a whole pantheon of gods, why would you be afraid of your own son? Sounds like a little, you know, weird, a little skittish, if I may say. Now, in this release in the same year, a couple months later, they released God of War Betrayal, which is a mobile phone game. The narrative, it says here, this game takes place between the events of God of War Ghost of Sparta, and God of War 2. In this, Kratos is framed for murder and rampages across Greece seeking the true assassin. Kratos succumbs to bloodlust and kills Ceryx, the son of the god Hermes, an act that alienates him from his fellow gods. Well, thing is, if a god forced me to kill my family, I'd be pretty pissed too. And now we're going to get into the first of the prequels. Chains of Olympus was released in 1 year after the release of God of War 2. But it was off by a couple of days. In 2008. But this was released on the PSP. I had a PSP. I wish I had this fucking game. But anyway. It says here, it takes place between Ascension and the first God of War during Kratos' 10 years of service to the gods. Kratos halts a Persian invasion of the Greek city of Attica and learns that the world has been plunged into darkness by the god Morpheus. And no, I am not talking about Lawrence Fishburne from The Matrix. Yeah. Kratos investigates the abduction of the sun god Helios and prevents the Machiavellian plan of the goddess Persephone to use the Titan Atlas to destroy the world. Talk about Atlas Falls. Fuck. I wouldn't want to piss off these gods, especially if there's a god who's planning to use a Titan to destroy the world. Now, here's where I start actually getting interested in God of War. When God of War 3 was released in 2010, it says here, reigniting the Great War, Kratos is soon abandoned by the gods, or by the Titans, who are only using him to exact their own revenge. And I should say this to the Titans, bad fucking move. Like, seriously, bad fucking move. Now seeking revenge against both the Titans and the Olympian gods, he is helped by the spirit of Athena, who sacrificed herself in God of War 2, who has elevated to a new level of understanding and instruction to seek the flame of Olympus in order to defeat Zeus. Now in this game, this is where he actually goes ham and actually goes against the main fucking gods. I mean, hell, he actually fights fucking Hercules, who, by the way, is actually voiced by the man who portrayed Hercules on TV in the fucking 90s. Yeah, Kevin Sorbo. Which, I'm surprised they actually managed to get his ass for this shit. Kratos engages in gods and titans in a series of battles across the underworld and Olympus and learns that Pandora's box is within the flame. Reiterating back to the first God of War with Pandora's box. He discovers that Pandora herself is the key to pacifying the flame and allowing him to open the box at the expense of her life. So in other words, so in layman's terms, she sacrifices herself. Kratos fights Zeus. He fucking kills Zeus. And he destroys an entire Greek pantheon. But there's a story in one of the God of War comics, I believe, that sometime after Kratos left, Greece started to rebuild itself. So Greece is not completely destroyed because some of the people actually survived. So he may have destroyed a pantheon, but he did not destroy civilization as you know it. And of course, like I said, there's two other prequels. One is Ghost of Sparta, which takes place between the events of God of War 1 and the mobile game Betrayal. Kratos is still haunted by visions of his mortal past and embarks on a quest to discover his origins by finding his mother, Callisto. We know his father is Zeus, now we know his mother's name is Callisto. He learns that his brother, Deimos, was taken by the gods and imprisoned by the god of death, Thanatos. Now, thing is, in the first God of War, we were told that Deimos was killed by Ares. But now it turns out he's alive. But he is a prisoner by the god of death, Thanatos, and decides to find and save his sibling. Although successful, Thanatos engages the brothers in combat and kills Deimos. Kratos then kills Thanatos and returns to Olympus, further enraged at the gods. In other words, he's getting pissed. And of course, Ascension, which most people believe is the weakest entry in the God of War series. This game is the only series that actually has multiplayer, so I'll give it that. Now, it says this game predates Chains of Olympus. It says it's roughly 6 months after Kratos is tricked into killing his wife and daughter and sees him imprisoned by the Three Furies for breaking his blood oath to Ares. In other words, vowing to kill the gods. Now, in this, he actually fights the fucking... He actually fights the Furies. Now, and of course, with the help of the Oathkeeper and Ares' estranged son, Orcos, by the way, nice name, Kratos learns that the God of War and the Furies plan to overthrow Mount Olympus, and that Ares chose Kratos as his servant to help him for that very purpose. So, Kratos did have a purpose. Nice. Now, the Spartan escapes his imprisonment and eventually kills the Furies, as well as Orcos, who begs for release. Why kill a man who's helping you? Nah. Although free of Ares' bond, Kratos begins to suffer nightmares that plague him for years. In other words, he may be free from the underworld, but he's still going to suffer from the nightmares. Now, like I said, Kratos destroyed an entire pantheon because he was tricked into killing his wife and his daughter by Persephone. Yeah, I know who tricked him, because she disguised herself as an old woman, and you actually see her transform into it in God of War Ascension, which, fuck me running, that was pretty fucking cool. Now, he kills a lot of monsters. He kills the Kraken. He kills fucking Hades. Fuck yeah. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't go to another pantheon and destroyed it. But wait. He actually did. Or he saved it. And that will be discussed in part 2. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into part 2. And now for part 2. Now, like I said, Kratos destroyed an entire pantheon, which means he no longer had a purpose. Feeling guilty for what he did, he travels the lands. Tries to help, but people know who he is. And that's when he finds his way back. Well, not back. Into the world of Midgard. As we enter the second era of God of War. As he enters the world of Norse mythology. Now, there was a short text-based game released as a prequel to this game, but there's not much story about it, except for it saying that it follows Atreus on his first adventures in the Norse wildlands, which means he goes on a hunt. Not much to tell. And of course, there was also a smartphone companion app called Mimir's Vision, and it provides some background on the Norse setting. And now, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this series. In other words, let's get into the main course. Because the beginning was just the appetizer and the main course at the same time. God of War. And yes, I am aware that it has the same title as the original. But I'm going to call it God of War 4 or God of War 2018. Was released worldwide in April of 2018 for the PS4. And it wouldn't get an official PC release until 2022. Which made it the first main installment released on a non-PlayStation platform. The story goes as this. Many years after the events of God of War 3, Kratos has ended up in the world of Norse mythology in ancient Norway in the realm of Midgard. He has a son named Atreus. After Kratos' second wife, yes, he got remarried, Atreus' mother, Faye, passes away, the two set out on a journey to fulfill her final wish of spreading her ashes at the highest peak of the Nine Realms, later revealed to be Jotunheim by their new ally, Mimir. Now, thing is, if you're wondering why his name is Atreus, as we would later find out, that he was named after a Spartan soldier who actually showed Kratos and his men that there is still some humanity left to save. Now, that's real sweet. But you're going to get into a twist when you find out what name Faye had set up for him. Now, back to the story. Along their journey, they are attacked by the Aesir god Baldr, who was sent by the Allfather Odin to get to Faye in order to prevent Ragnarok, unaware that she has died. What did she die of? I have no idea. After Kratos eventually kills Baldr and some dragons and some Draugr and some nightmares and some light elves, or dark elves, that's it, dark elves, the 3-year-long Fimbul winter begins with Ragnarok soon to follow. While Baldr's mother, the Vanir goddess Freya, swears revenge on Kratos after he and Atreus complete their... After they kill him, she swears revenge after Kratos kills Baldr because he's trying to be better. He and Atreus complete their journey and discover that Faye was a giant who had foreseen the future and actually had foreseen their entire journey, and that Atreus was originally named Loki. Now everybody who believes in Norse mythology knows who Loki is. Loki is the trickster god. Crazy son of a bitch. But Loki is what Atreus was originally named. So, there you go. Thanks a lot, Faye. The thing is, we were introduced to a whole bunch of characters in this. Like I said, we were introduced to Mimir. We were introduced to the dwarves. Brock and Sindri, which I love them, especially Sindri, the little germaphobe, who was also willing to die in Faye's honor, which surprised me. Got to meet the world serpent Jormungandr, which, nice. Got to go to hell. Was reintroduced to Athena and Zeus, which Zeus is in hell. I wonder why. And he was told by Mimir not to go where he saw Zeus. And we also got a reintroduction to the fucking Blades of Chaos, which is by far one of my favorite scenes in the fucking game, which I was happy to see. Now, also, in this story, like I said, the whole story is about Kratos trying to be a better man than what he used to be. Because he used to be a monster. And he's trying to leave that monster behind to be a better father. He wasn't there for Atreus for most of his life. So, he had to make up for it. In more ways than one. And he finally did it. Of course, Atreus tried to distance himself from Kratos, because Kratos was never around. He wasn't a good father to him anyways. Especially by preventing him from telling him he was a god. Dad of the year. But anyway, after this, we're going to jump straight into, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. I mean, the whole story of them being better is the whole reason why Santa Monica Studios released a documentary, which you can actually watch on YouTube right now, entitled Raising Kratos, because this story is actually not just about Kratos raising Atreus, but it's also about Atreus raising Kratos to be a better man, to be a father. And this whole story is actually Kratos' redemption arc, which he learns to do better. And now we get into the game that I had waited on for years. 2022's God of War Ragnarok, which was released in November of last year. The story goes as this. At the end of the 3-year Fimbul winter, Kratos, Atreus, and Mimir are confronted by Odin and the god of thunder, Thor. After dueling Thor, the three set out on a journey across the Nine Realms in hopes of finding a way to prevent the world-ending event Ragnarok. Along the way, they are confronted by a vengeful Freya, but they eventually make amends. So in other words, she eventually forgives Kratos for killing Baldur. But yet Thor can't forgive Kratos for killing Magni and Modi. Well, technically, Kratos killed Magni, Atreus killed Modi. After Modi got his ass whooped. But anyway, unable to prevent Ragnarok, which is discovered to only destroy Asgard, the home of the Aesir, Kratos, Atreus, and their allies unite the realms in a war against the Aesir gods in their home realm. Kratos battles Thor once again. Thor is killed by Odin for, you know, refusing to kill Kratos and, you know, trying to be a better person, trying to quit drinking. Because apparently he only kills when he drinks. He can snap his fingers and bring his Mjolnir to him, which turns out it's actually all for show. He is a showman. Who knew? Kratos, Atreus, Mimir, and Freya then engage Odin in battle to defeat the Allfather as Asgard is destroyed. Returning home to Midgard, Atreus, as Loki, decides he needs to go and find any... Returning home to Midgard, Atreus, as Loki, decides that he needs to go and find any remaining giants and bids a heartfelt farewell while Kratos learns that he is destined to become a revered god. In other words, he's taking Odin's place as all father of the lands. Along with Freya and Mimir, they begin to rebuild the realms and restore peace. Now, in this, we witness the birth of Jormungandr with Loki and the debuting Angor Boda, which, again, nice name. Atreus tries to find out who Loki is. He loses his pet wolf Fenrir. They find the god Tyr, which I am using quotation marks, you can't see it. Only to discover it's Odin trying to twist things up. And then, in a twist that I didn't even see coming when I first saw the gameplay, they killed fucking Brock. God damn it, Corey Barlog. But it was said that in this game, Brock had to die. But it turns out that Brock was already dead. He died before, but Sindri took him to the Lady of the Lake and brought him back to life. Good brother. But it was after Brock died the second time that Sindri finally broke and took on the characteristics of his brother. To, you know, help with his grief. What fills up as it gets deeper? The hole. Well played, Brock. And may Brock rest in peace. I liked Brock, damn it. Fuck you, Odin. Well, God of War, Odin. Let me rephrase that because I actually believe in Odin. But anyway, when it comes to God of War, all this is about, the first three games was about revenge. Revenge against the gods for costing him his family. Then the game set in the Norse realms was a story about redemption and learning to be better. The second game was about knowing if Kratos was willing to let go, which he does. He eventually lets his son exit stage left and get on with his life. And he becomes a god worthy of being worshipped. Now, there is a DLC game coming out in a couple of days entitled Valhalla. And it's supposed to serve as an epilogue to Ragnarok. And it is said to follow Kratos and Mimir in a series of trials in Valhalla. Which I'm looking forward to playing that. Not a lot of people were, but it looks like it's going to be pretty good. Now, when I was first introduced to this game, I didn't know anything about it until I watched gameplay. Then I learned the story of Kratos, his vengeance towards the gods who wronged him. He killed a bunch of gods, he killed some titans, he killed the fucking Kraken, and he somewhat redeemed himself. He thought he destroyed Greece, but Greece eventually rebuilt. And he, like I said, he redeemed himself. Now, there was supposed to be a live-action film coming out, but it never got off the ground. But we are going to be getting a God of War TV series soon, thanks to Amazon Prime Video. And thing is, this series is going to be taking a page out of the Norse mythology. taking a page out of the Norse mythology series, which a lot of fans were not too happy about, but they'll eventually get over it. Like I said, there's a couple of documentaries, including Raising Kratos. And there was, and the stories I told you about were actually from comic book series. God of War from the DC Comics and God of War from the Dark Horse Comics. Now, thing is, one thing I did like about God of War Ragnarok was its soundtrack and how they used the music. Hell, even singer Hozier did a song for the God of War Ragnarok soundtrack, Blood Upon the Snow, which I've done a TikTok video for. So what can I say that has not already been said about this series? It's deserving of its place in its own pantheon. A pantheon where video games will live forever, where characters will live forever. He has become an icon. I mean, hell, he is pretty much one of the mascots for PlayStation Studios. This man found redemption. And there's also talks about another set of God of War games taking place in another mythology. Egyptian mythology, which, by the way, I hope fucking rules. I want more God of War. Give me more Kratos, as most people would say. Now for my final thought. I'm glad I just gave it to you. What's left to be said about a game series that started in 2005 and ended on a great note with God of War Ragnarok? Now, a lot of people actually wanted this game to be a trilogy, but when it was announced that it was just a duology, not a lot of people were happy about it. But they eventually got over it when they actually played the game. Now, I will eventually play the game myself, but until then, I'm just going to enjoy the videos of people playing it. And Kratos' legacy will live on, especially through his kids. One who's already gone, and one he actually got to see grow up. And eventually have grandkids. Ugh. But can you imagine Granddaddy Kratos? So with that being said, when it comes to this show, that's pretty much what this show is for me. It's a story about redemption. And I hope to redeem myself with everybody. Especially with these last few episodes that are going to be ending 2023. And I will be recording often in 2024. Next week, we'll be doing I'll be doing my own commentary on TV shows from other countries that are actually pretty funny and where they stand in comedy as itself. And I'll also be talking about why people think woke comedy is funnier than shit that happened back then. So with that being said, this has been the Real Talk Podcast. I've been your host, AJ Laster. And I'll see you all in Valhalla, aka the next episode. Peace out, everybody. And praise Odin.